Warning, the following content may contain elements that are not suitable for some audiences. Viewer discretion is advised.
Hello, kiddies. This is y'all's ghoulie, John Kassir, the voice of the Crypt Keeper. And you're listening to Slasher Radio.
Welcome to Slasher Radio. It's your boy Bones and Bobby Benghazi Spitzer. Man, what's going on over there?
The rest is history.
Oh shit, Mink, we are fucking back this week. And what the hell? Last week we did The Collector. And I'm still, Mink, I still got goosebumps over the damn thing.
That was a good one, wasn't it?
Dude, it was. You know what though? I'm not gonna lie. When I was going through the editing and I heard myself give it a 9.8, I would like to change it to a 9.4. Can I do that?
I would say so. Yeah, why not, man?
All right. As long as, you know, because I don't know. I think I just watched it. I was caught up and I was like, yeah, 9.8 is damn near a 10. I'll change it to a 9.4, tentative 9.3. I would just like that to show in the record books.
So now it's the official score of 9.4.
9.3.5.
9.3.5.
Yeah, I'm breaking it down a lot. 9.3 3/4, I'll give it. That's the official score.
9.3 3/4. Official score for The Collector.
Yes. It's in the book. 9.3 3/4. I don't know, man. I was listening back and I was like, yeah, damn, I gave that a 9.8 is high, man.
That's what I was saying. I was like, God dang, he really loved this movie, man.
Yeah, I know 9.3 3/4 is high too, but it's like that little bit to bring it up to a 0.8, that's a long way.
9.8 is a 10, basically.
Right. And I was like, I don't know, man.
This is how you can tell we're passionate when we've got a, it's been a week.
Right? Yeah. Yeah, I was sitting there, I was like, oh man, couldn't believe it.
But that's for now until you do a rewatch.
Yeah, that's true. That is true. But I don't think it'll drop much, if anything, if at all. But I just felt I jumped the gun a little, and I was caught up in my emotions after watching it, and I was like, 9.8, I don't know.
9.3/4.
9.3 3/4.
9.3 3/4. There you have it, folks.
There you go. Mink, we are back, and hold on, I gotta find a Twitter handle. We have a listener pick this week, which we haven't done in a while.
No, we haven't.
I know.
It's been a minute.
It has been a minute. Jamie Gobble at JBaby1687, who, Mink, you remember her from the Racerhead.
Yes.
I'm still not happy about that.
The most terrifying, not terrifying movie in the world.
I give that one a negative 9.8. That I'll give negative 9.8.
That's a movie you can just turn the audio off on and then put a Marilyn Manson song and watch it.
Oh, God, that'd be terrifying.
Wouldn't it?
Ooh.
Turn the audio off on the movie, put on a Marilyn Manson.
You won't miss anything.
No.
Maybe if you find a way to just get the baby crying in that movie to play when it's supposed, you know, then it'll be complete.
Might make more sense.
It would make a lot more sense. But yeah, so we're back with listener pick from Jamie Gobble. She tweeted us and asked us what we thought about Demons of the Night. Night of the Demons. And this movie, since we decided to do this movie, things have gone wrong today for me. Because I was trying to look it up and find it online. And I couldn't find it. And I was like, what the hell? It cannot be this hard to find. And for some reason, I was looking up Night of the Zombies. So that was my mistake. So then I wasted a good 15 minutes looking for Night of the Zombies. Then, I talked about it before how I was saying that I wanted to do a couple of Twitch Now has the watch-along, watch-party things.
Right.
And I was telling you earlier how I said, you know what, this is on Amazon Prime, which is what Twitch uses for their watch party thing. Let me do a watch party. I'm going to get this out of the way before IR Chris just plastered me for it, even though he tweeted about it already. I mean, I fell asleep towards the end of the movie. I couldn't believe it.
What was the conversation before you fell asleep?
I don't even remember. It was just random shit about the movie, and I remember that I was getting... First of all, Uncle Bones ain't as young as he used to be, all right? Like, me and you used to be able to stay up.
Yeah.
And these kids, all our older listeners will know, but these kids will find out someday. It don't last like that forever. And I was going on 3.5 hours sleep, and damn it, it just happened. I fucking fell asleep.
You can't go on at a certain point, man. There were days where we'd be up for fucking almost a day and a half.
Yeah, yeah.
For finally just fucking clocking out. Can't do it. And the clocking out means about for 5 hours and get right back. Can't do it no more.
I heard Chris DM me and said, hold on, where did it start? He goes, you okay? You okay, bro? Sounded like you fell asleep or something. Pretty sure we can hear you sleeping. And I messaged him back about 20 minutes later, and I said, oh my God, I'm so damn embarrassed. And he said, bro, we could hear you snoring. And the channel is still live with 140 people listening to silence. Oh my God. Mink, I had a good little party going.
You know what? I think it was for the best.
Jesus Christ.
You gave them something that they could never re-experience.
Right? My God, man. And it's a shame because it was a good movie. It has no bearing on the movie at all. But damn, man, I can't believe. And I remember it happening, too, because I was sitting there like, I'm getting tired. The day's winding down. I'm like, all right, you know, let me just put my head back a little. Like, you know, the movie was at a slower point at that time. I was like, let me put my head back a little bit and just fucking close my eyes for a minute. Out. Done. Woke up to like fucking 5 missed calls. Phone was on silent. Mink, I was out.
You're fucking done, man. You didn't signed off.
But I can promise you guys that will not happen again on another watch party. But Jesus Christ. We were having fun until then. It was a good time.
I wouldn't advise promising that.
Well.
Because you never know.
This is true. You really never fucking know. This is true.
And this go, if it happened to you, it can happen to anybody.
That's true, damn it. That's true. My God.
Just happened to be you. Could have been any one of you.
Been going since 7 a.m. And you know what? Damn it. I couldn't take it. I gave it all I had.
And how do we know that none of you went to bed after that?
That's true. Well, we know IR Chris was. Because apparently I woke up and said, oh shit.
Oh, shit.
And he heard that. I can't believe it. I wish I had it recorded. I really do. Oh, man.
You win some, you lose some.
I can't believe it. But barring the slight embarrassment on Twitch, we're back with this listener pick. And we haven't done one of these in a while. I want to say the last real listener pick. Well, actually, no. We can't even say. I was going to say the last listener pick we did was IR Chris with the hatchet stuff. But dude, we were having people on for a while and let them pick what they wanted to do. So we've been doing listener picks heavy and then just kind of, you know, haven't. But we're back with it.
We're fucking back, bitches. And there's nothing you can do about it, okay? And if you give us a fucking stupid-ass movie, I'm going to personally come down to the house, see? And I'm going to go in your kitchen, see? And I'm going to get butt-ass naked, huh? And then I'm going to go in your refrigerator. And I'm going to get all your fucking cold cuts and your meats and your bolognese and every all your fucking cheese, huh? And I'm going to make a big old fucking sandwich, huh? And then after I'm done taking a shit, I'm going to go in there and I'm going to eat it, huh? And then I'm going to tell you that movie was worth it.
So wait a minute, you're going to get naked, make a sandwich, go shit, and then eat the sandwich?
Then eat it.
Why shit first?
So I can...
You making room?
So I can... Yeah. So I can just release myself so I can make room for that sandwich, and then I'm about to pound down and take another shit afterward.
Jeez.
When I'm done eating that.
Are you going to flush it all?
Nope. I ain't even washing my hands.
That's fucked up. If you take a shit, don't flush and then go back and take another. Oh my God. Two shits?
No. I ain't flushing. I ain't washing my hands. I'm coming and I'm arriving after a 2-day unshowering spree.
Ooh.
And I'm going to eat that shit sandwich right in your lap. Nothing you can do. You better hope that I wiped enough not to leave a shit stain on your lap.
Oh my God.
Sons of bitches. But we're back. And before we get into that, we got a little bit of news to do, eh?
Yeah, let's hit up the fucking newski.
It's time for Spitball in the News with Bobby Spitzer.
All right, McFirst, well, you know what? I'm going to save this one to the end because most of
the press. Stop the press. This just in.
Uh-oh.
Big news.
Web.
Rob's ball just dropped.
Oh, shit.
Oh, shit.
Really?
He's got a ton of fucking paperwork to file.
Oh, my God.
This just in.
Damn.
Rob's balls have dropped together, both of them.
Rob Humphrey's nuts have arrived.
Goddamn.
Good mazel tov, Rob. Congratulations. I thought I heard something.
We need photographic proof.
Mick, I think he should tattoo his balls to look like tires for rubber.
He should.
Imagine.
It's what any diehard rubber fan would do.
Rob, if you don't have tire balls at some point by the end of this year, you don't give a fuck about rubber.
Or at least get Firestone on the side of them or something.
That would be funny. That would be funny.
Something.
Holy shit. Imagine the guy's face when you go into the tattoo shop. Yeah, I'm a Firestone going along my nuts. Holy shit. Wow.
Damn.
Oh, Lord.
And here we go.
Okay.
That's first big news today.
First order of business, Rob Nutt. All right, the first up, this is a little bit outdated, but we didn't talk about it on the show, and I wanted to get your take on it. The second season of The Twilight Zone, Jordan Peele's Twilight Zone, coming this summer. I see, but I don't know if it's really... That's the thing. I think it got pushed back. I'm not positive. I still haven't gotten around to looking at the first season of what Jordan Peele did with Twilight Zone. This article was written by Nick Venom. Mink, did you catch any of the new Twilight Zone?
No. I have not. I'm severely behind mm-hmm. on all this new stuff that's been coming up. The new fucking Twilight shit, Creep Show, all that stuff. I have not caught up yet. I'm trying. I just watched fucking Halloween. I saw the new Chucky. I'm trying.
You know what it is? I think, for me anyway, we have to watch a movie every week. You know, so it's like, to watch another movie, it's like, ugh.
Yeah, especially a series.
Yeah. Yeah, I didn't even catch up on this season of Walking Dead yet. Rob's not the only one with paperwork, damn it. But yeah, I mean, I'm really interested to see, I want to just blow through it, binge through the whole fucking first season. And prep myself properly for the second season. And, dude, we've talked about Jordan Peele. Like, I'm very interested to see what... After watching, what was it, Us? And how he was able to fucking twist all that around? Twilight Zone would be perfect for him.
I would like to do something, man. Get a good amount of time set aside. Catch up on that fucking first season. And get immersed into it. Because I hear a lot of good things. A lot of people have been praising it. But I also hear a lot of bad things, too. But any time that you're dealing with something like the Twilight Zone or anything that's not original,
right,
it's going to receive all kinds of criticism. And that's another reason why I really haven't put aside that time. Because it is an original. It isn't something new. I'd be more geared towards trying to put the most effort to something new that I never experienced, never heard of before, than something that's been out there already.
Right.
And as bad as that is to say, that's just the truth. It's like the new Chucky and the Halloween shit. And like, I know, that's for another time, but yeah, the Twilight, I haven't. You haven't caught up on it either, so.
No, I haven't watched it.
We will. We'll get around to it.
Right. And that's the thing, too, with these series, which is nice. I'm not sure. Let me see if I can breeze through this really quick. I'm not sure what it's on. Okay, it's just listing the... Oh, wow. Apparently, the episode list is out. So, you know, that's on the site as well. You can look at the list of episodes. But that's the thing. Like, whatever this is on, I highly doubt it's on Shudder. I don't know what it's on, Netflix, whatever it is. It's going to be there forever. You know, so right. It's like there's really no rush.
No. Yeah. And I would love to hear fucking people telling us what they think about it. So go on Twitter right. And hit us up and let us know. If there's a specific episode we should, you know, if you really want us to watch, and we can talk about that. And I think Twilight Zone's one of those things where you can do that. Really just an episode per episode. Kind of like Tales from the Crypt.
Right. Yeah. Anthology, yeah.
But I'd still like to sit down and watch it all the way through.
Right. Me too. So, yeah, we'll see what happens with that. And one day we'll catch up on the shit. Next up, though... NECA. We're back with fucking NECA. This article is by IR Chris. Bastard. I mean, he really called me out for the snoring.
He really was upset about this, Chris, huh?
Yeah, like, he found it. He tweeted about it.
He's offended.
Like, that's why I felt I had to make a public statement on this episode as soon as possible. Because this son of a bitch, he won't leave me alone already.
Why is he making this a big deal?
I don't blame him. If we ever listened to him or Rob, or they were doing a watch along and they fell asleep, we would be giving them a lot of shit too.
Let the man sleep, you fuck.
Right, Jesus Christ. I will say that I feel brand new right now though.
Rejuvenated and spooky. Oh,
ready to go. But NECA, the toy company, we've talked about them a bunch of times on here. They released an Alpha Predator. From coming to Predator Hunting Grounds. So they released a toy figure based around Predator, I guess Alpha. Everybody, it's documented that I'm really not a huge Alien versus Alien or Predator fan. But Alpha Predator, dude, we don't have to say anything about NECA. We know how sick their shit is.
NECA's a really great manufacturer of these toys. And Predator is just one of those characters where there's a lot that you have to do right on.
Right.
You know, is he with the mask or without the mask?
I'm going to share my screen right now so you can see. Look at that son of a bitch.
Oh, fuck. Is that the fucking mask at all?
Yep. Got the mask. The little... he's covering his clock.
Yeah. Pants for him like that. That is a lot of detail I have to capture. For them to, you know, go for that aspect of the Predator.
In figure size, too. It's not easy making small details like that on a small object.
Like, you can see what looks to be, like, the teeth in his belt.
Right. I mean, it's crazy, man. Like, whatever the hell's on the nose of this bone thing, it's crazy.
I like the fucking fact that they added those knee pads on that bony sucking cock.
So that's what you think the knee pads are used for?
The sucking warrior.
He looks like one. Lift the mask and it's time.
Oh, you've been sitting here to Planet Earth to suck anybody dry. Oh my god.
Oh god, he's good.
Oh god, where did he get those knee pegs?
Alright, yeah, I mean, NECA, like I said, there's really not much we can fucking say about them. Like, I haven't seen them put out anything that isn't over the fucking top.
They hit it right on the head.
Mm-hmm. So go to our site, check that out. That was, like I said, by IR Chris. And that's, if you're an Alien Predator fan, I know it's a widely popular franchise. You're going to want to pick this bitch up. Alright, so next up, Resident Evil Village coming in 2021. This article is also by IR Chris. Mick, you are bigger in the Resident Evil games than me. Is this something you'd be interested in? And before, you it's coming out on the new Xbox and the PS5 also, by the way.
I think the Resident Evil kind of lost its flavor a little bit. Man.
I agree.
It didn't really keep... They came out during a time where it was real popular, but they just stayed in that era.
Right.
And they haven't really updated into anything else, and really all the games are just like a carbon copy of the last one. And then every now and then they go even further back before that. So you're really essentially buying these same games over and over.
Yeah, like Resident Evil 3 is remastered. Like, dude, it's Resident Evil 3.
Right.
Same game.
I understand. I'm thinking, is it Capcom that makes it? You know, they got their way.
Yeah.
Very Capcom.
You know, the new Resident Evil, I could see on the like Resident Evil 3 and 4, like all that. I get it. You're remaking games. There's not too much you can change. The new Resident Evil games like this, the Village, dude, they really need to change their fucking, like, the layout of the game, like the schematics, the buttons, yeah. The menus.
It's very 1998.
Mm-hmm.
We don't access the game that way no more.
Damn it. I'm trying to, you know what? I have my Xbox on, right? Oh, it's Resistance. I don't even need to look that up. Resident Evil Resistance. Remember I told you about that, Mink, and the beta ended before you could try it?
Yeah, when they were trying to do like a hard sort of survival game. Right.
Yeah. Dude, it was a cool concept. Like, I kind of liked it. I couldn't play it because of the menus, dude. I couldn't fucking do that.
Yeah, it's tough how they set that up. Like, you have to hit start, pull up the menu, and then you got to go piece by piece to get to where you gotta go, and then you gotta click that, and then you gotta put it somewhere, and then be able to use it. You gotta go through the drop down menu to use it. It shouldn't be like that, you know? It should be where you're walking around and you do it, like, say you take a healing potion or whatever,
right?
Fucking you push the left stick in and the fucking, you know,
right
character takes it. But no, you gotta stop, hit start, all that.
And to be fair, they did do a little thing with where they have shortcuts, but damn it, to set what you want,
yeah.
You know, and it doesn't save, so you have to do that every fucking game.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, Jesus Christ, and especially in a survivor mode, you don't got time for all that bullshit.
No, when they first came out with that shit, it was really, you know, that was appropriate for the time because that was, you know, a big part of the game was toggling through that menu.
Right.
That's just how games were back then. You had Final Fantasy and shit. We're not in that time no more. Like, we don't play games like this.
And I haven't played a Final Fantasy game in a long, 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 long time. I would imagine Final Fantasy has changed their menu. I could be wrong. I would imagine.
Yeah.
So, I don't know. But either way, if they haven't, they need to. Resident Evil needs to. Dude, like, those dogs fucking jump on you real quick. And then, like, I gotta go to a menu, fucking move the thing. I'm dead.
Yeah, that's
ridiculous.
Very primitive.
Yeah, it's and the shortcut thing, it's just fucking, like, why are you gonna? I guess it's nice to be able to customize your shortcut, sure, but at least give us a set prefix layout to where, okay, healing's here, and if you want to change it, so be it, you can. But I mean, come on, man, that's the real thing.
That shit should have stopped at 5. It should have stopped. At Resident Evil 5. You know, Resident Evil 4 was even pushing it, but it was such a good game. It had such a good story and all that.
Right.
I think that was really the last one that needed to be done like that. And then when they came out with 5, they kept the fucking same concept almost to the T.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. They did. And it's gotta go, man. Because when I played the Resistance, I was really excited to play it, too. Because, you know, Friday and, yeah, Dead by Daylight, I hate with a passion, but, you know, like, Dead by Daylight's frustrating. Friday, it gets somewhat boring and repetitive. It was nice. It was like, oh, shit, wow, another survivor game, and it's Resident Evil, so you know it's no bullshit. And I was looking forward to it, and I installed it, and I played it, and it looked good. But then I tried to heal. And I was like, fuck.
Yeah.
Really?
Hopefully they learn, man, and they figure it out and stop doing this. It has a lot of potential. I mean, I read about it. And just the concept of it, just reading about it, it seemed miles ahead of what any survivor game is doing now.
It is, but the menus like we just talked about, and also, dude, there's no balance. What's dude's name? Dr. X or what's his name?
The killer.
Yeah. I forget. Dude, once he's in the game, wrap it up and shut it off. It's done. There's no stopping that motherfucker.
Keep that cat.
Imagine Jason Voorhees mixed with a Dead by Daylight killer.
Yeah. Oh, wow.
Yeah. Yeah. That's pretty much what it is. Jesus Christ.
But the concept of it, that the killer can, you know, remotely set things up.
Right.
For survivors. Like, that's really a great concept. It's just a shame that if you're playing the game, you have to go through all of that to try to fucking play, man. It's just, and that concept doesn't need to be used with that platform, how the gameplay is.
Right.
That's a whole different concept, and it needs a whole different style of gameplay. You can't incorporate that into that. It just doesn't fit. Like you said, with the dogs and shit, and you gotta stop and do the minutes, too much happening. And then you're gonna send a cheat clapper in? It's just too much to do. You can't, you know. It's almost as if these Resident Evil games, it's a game in itself doing that. And that was fine for back then, because that's just how games work.
Right.
There's nothing like that no longer. I mean, especially nowadays with the fucking PC era.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And that's more of a PC layout, too, you know, where you could use a mouse and click. Like, we're using controllers, man. And not only that, dude, you're right. The concept was crazy. Because it's, you know, yeah, you have Dead by Daylight where it's a skill, and you have Friday where you play Jason. It's a physical skill. You have to be... Dude, this is a mental thing more than really anything. I mean, you can control the killers once they're placed in, but really it's like a chess game almost with how you're placing this stuff. And I liked it, the thought of it a lot, because Dead by Daylight is broken down to a science a lot, too. More so than Friday, but Friday, too. Like, I was just playing as killer. Like, I was just playing as Jason. I'm chasing this Tommy, and most of the reason I got the way I was playing him was I was trying to be a step ahead of him. So it breaks down to a science on some level. But, dude, that's all science, practically. You know, like that, I could see people really getting good at that game and putting the, and then survivors finding ways to counter things. It had a lot of potential.
You're not going to go any further with this concept, this gameplay. That's my only gripe about them. But, I mean, they've come up with so many great stories and the whole Umbrella Corporation. And they were really one of the pioneers of this. You know, zombies were the biggest fucking deal for a long time, arguably still is, you know, and they really kind of pioneered it. Like, they put it into a way to where these things don't have to just be, you know, walking corpses. They can look like this, they can mutate, they can think, they can fucking fight.
Yeah.
That was such a sick concept, man. Plus all the fucking movies and stuff like that.
Yeah.
Now the zombie is not limited to just being a brain dead human, you know, woken from the dead, or nothing's, it could be what you see in Resident Evil. And
yeah,
they own that, man, but god damn it, they just won't come off that gameplay.
Nope, they won't do it.
They got some crazy ass fucking characters too, man. Mm-hmm. My argument, though, that I always like to have is, who would win between the underworld bitch and the Resident Evil bitch if they got to a fucking ball? Who would fucking come out on top on that?
What underworld bitch?
You know the underworld series, right?
No.
Okay, the vampire series where that girl, she's a vampire and they gotta fight the lichens and there's a war between the werewolves and them. Underworld.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't remember that one.
Look it up real quick. You had to have at least seen the poster or something.
Let's see. Oh yeah, I've seen this before.
Underworld. Yeah, that bitch. She's badass.
Oh yeah. Okay. Yeah.
She's a fucking badass bitch. But then you got the Resident Evil bitch, who's a badass bitch.
Mm-hmm. I think I don't remember anything from Underworld, but I would have to say Resident Evil only because I'd be, Jesus, she's fucking, she don't take no bullshit.
I know, man, but goddamn, I don't know.
But now what if we throw Lara Croft in there? What then what?
I'll probably get her ass handed to
her. Really?
Delivered. I mean, I don't even think they would acknowledge her in that fight at all.
Really? Jeez.
No. These bitches are bad to the fucking bone.
Jeez.
Like, this underworld bitch, she's, and like, every time I'm like, oh, I give the edge to Resident Evil bitch. But then I'm like, God, well, I see this underworld series or a movie, I'm like, fuck, that's a tough one. I don't know, man. She's so relentless. It's weird. I mean, that's tough.
Well, we'll never know, unfortunately. But last up is an article by IR Chris again. Jesus, man. Holy shit.
Can I say something to Chris real quick?
Sure.
Chris, come on. Come on. Enough already. You bastard. You got us scrolling through these articles looking for demonic taint.
Oh, God, I haven't looked through the... Oh, fuck.
You got us fucking...
Hold on.
Biting on nails every time you tweet something out because we don't know what you're going to do.
Oh, God.
Just whip it out already. Just whip it out already.
Demon is in here twice.
Oh, fuck.
I can't find it, though. What did he do? It's showing us 2 out of 3. Hold on. He hid Demon in here somewhere.
And Ben and I have a taint.
A taint didn't come up. I don't know, man. It's not, I don't know if it's my browser or something, but it's showing that there's two demons in here. No, three. Yeah, three demons. I just don't know where. So there could be demonic taint buried in here somewhere. I don't fucking know.
I think he has a contract with Satan.
He has a contract with somebody. Mick, there is a new exclusive to Shout Factory Friday the 13th Collector's Edition. Mick, they got all the fucking movies, custom artwork for the boxes. This thing is fucking legit.
I like when they do shit like this, man. Oh my god.
Right? Look at the box.
Jesus. That doesn't get any better than that, man.
Posters, fucking, they all got individual cases. I mean, holy shit.
So, the first set of discs seem like special features.
Right. Yeah, I don't know what they got going on.
And then the second set are the movies?
I don't know. That's what I was wondering, too.
These assholes coming out with some fucking really cool shit.
Right? Oh, my God. Okay, so, well, Chris actually, in the article, breaks down, wow, this is a long one, what everything is. Disc 14.
Good Lord.
Jesus Christ.
How much is this? Like $200?
Let's see if it's listed in here. Oh, my God. $160. Jeez.
Shit, by the time you pay shipping and all that.
Right? It's, Shout Factory has announced they put up for pre-order. This bitch is going to probably be sold out by the time it even becomes available. Pre-order an exclusive Friday the 13th Deluxe Collector's Edition. $160.
God, yeah.
Crazy.
You know, I'd fuck somebody's dick if they bought that for me. Or fucking lick the titty. Whatever you need me to do. I'll just run my tongue down your ass crack if I have to.
Wow.
Oh, let me know.
How do I have a feeling that Rob Humphrey might buy this for you.
I will fucking gurgle his balls.
Firestone?
Firestone nuts. But only for a fucking... I mean, I'm not going to go too far with it with everybody. Just to throw it out there so I understand, you understand the stipulation. It's not going to be a complete fucking blowy licky or whatever. It's just the matter of fact of me doing so. Okay, so everybody's clear. That's what you get. Don't expect the fucking big whole fucking scene, 30-minute ordeal. I'm not doing all that. Just a little fucking bob and weaving. That's it. In and out.
In and out. Yeah. Just say in and out. One and done.
One and done.
You're not getting the whole fucking show.
Lick your asshole and then I'll leave. Yeah, I'm not going to fucking sit there and have dinner with it. Nope.
So you can lick their asshole, take your box and leave.
Go. So just a little blah, 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 and we're done.
Are you going to shake the hand? Something, maybe?
Maybe a slap across the face for good measure and they can punch me in the gut and then we're good.
Alright, I mean, hey, you can't get mad at that. That's fair.
Nah, that's fine.
That's really it for the news. I am highly considering buying that fucking box set. That thing is nuts.
I mean, if there was anything to buy for that money,
right?
You really need money's worth on that, man. I mean, that would take a whole fucking year to go through.
Yeah.
Probably more.
It's got 16 discs. 16.
Yeah. And then plus it has the posters and shit. You get a nice frame.
Yeah.
Put that shit up.
Oh, yeah. Maybe you get it signed.
By Joe Exotic, yeah. You send it to Joe Exotic. He'll fucking sign it in prison and send it back to you.
I would get this signed by anybody but Kane Hodder.
Damn.
Anybody but.
Wow.
Yep.
Who's your favorite Jason?
I don't go by actors, man. Like, don't get me wrong. I'm sure Kane Hodder was the actor for... I don't even know which part would be. It was probably part 8. I like Zombified Jason. So, you know, I probably lean more towards that. Like 7, maybe. So it was probably Kane Hodder. But still, like, I don't put that much weight into the fucking thing. So on principle, I won't get it signed by him. Probably charge me $100 for it.
My favorite Jason is Swamp Jason, Kid Jason. I like that.
You like the little bastard?
The little fuck, yeah. The little fuck. Well, he fucks everybody's day up just when they think it's all nice and calm. They wake up in a peaceful lake, birds are chirping, bang, out the fucking water. It's the only time that his ass fucking just emerges out of that bitch with no fucking clothes on, butt ass naked.
Well, he was in, was it Jason Takes Manhattan? I don't remember which one, but they had a little thing of him crying by the water or sunlight. I remember. I forget exactly what it was, but he's made a couple of appearances. But yeah, when he'll clap your cheeks out of that lake, though, that's his time to shine.
I'm a little kid. I'm free balling in the water.
Free balling in the water. I think you might go to jail for saying that. I don't
know. Jeez. I never get the fucking image of Freddy fucking and Freddy versus Jason out of my head. Oh, ever. Man. For some reason, that's embedded in my head.
He fucks way better than Kane Hodder.
Right. He just goes to show you that Freddy is better not only as a fucking killer, in my opinion, but he's a better fucker, too.
That's a fact.
Way better fucker.
Like, yeah.
Kane Hodder should fucking watch that and then just do exactly that.
Well, he was able to watch it because he wasn't in the movie. Bam!
Wow.
Yeah.
Damn.
Got him. Got him.
You know what's crazy, though, man? Like, he wanted that role so bad just to get his ass whooped by Freddy.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
But would he really have been happy anyway?
Threw a fit about it.
Just to get his ass whooped and shown how to fuck by Freddy.
Yeah, fucking Kane Hodder.
Chris is going to hate me now because he's a fucking Jason fan.
He's a what?
Isn't Chris a Jason fan?
Oh, yeah, he's going to be mad at you. On his article, too, Mickey had to say all that. What are you going to do?
Goes way back. I haven't forgotten Chris.
Oompa Loompas.
My balls hurt.
Anyway, yeah, so Night of the Fucking Demons from 1988?
Where the fuck did this come out? I mean, you just had this tucked away, Miss Gobble, just somewhere?
Melly Bean gave me a little shit because I had said I didn't see it. She said, apparently, this is a classic.
I'm unaware. We both have been uninformed, and we apologize. Right. But now we are thoroughly aware, thanks to your awareness. And I would like to hear what you got to say about this flick here. Mate, what did you think?
I liked it. I mean, granted, I fell asleep during the fucking thing. But once I got, I liked it up until I fell asleep, and then I didn't mind the ending either. Dude, this movie, you know, it was an 80s movie. It wasn't, you know, it's like, it was movies like this that horror was built on. And I think it checked all the boxes. It had the right amount of everything. Because people, I think, kind of, when horror movies aren't too dark or too serious, I think some people kind of tune out. But they got to remember, like, there was comedy embedded somewhere in horror back in its origins. Like Friday the 13th, there was some comedy in there. Well, it was cheesy comedy, but it was in there at the beginning, you know?
Yeah.
And people got to remember that. So I'm giving it thumbs up. What about you?
I think that, like you said, man, it is exactly what horror movies, it's the textbook horror movie. And especially for the time, you know, in 1988, it was released and it captured everything that, you know, what was trendy about that decade. And I think it was kind of hard to watch in the beginning, but then once you pay attention and watch it and get into the movie, it picks up and it has a lot to it that makes it, I don't know. And like, if you've never seen this, you're not really, you're already kind of putting it in a category of what you think it might be, but then once you get into the movie, it makes it an actual demon movie. Like you're not sure where it's gonna go, but then it gets there. It takes a minute. It took a while. Like I wasn't really captivated until they started going to the party and all that, but it gets there. And then once it does, it evens out. But I don't think it was a bad movie at all. Like you said, it checked all those boxes.
Yeah.
I think it, you know, not having to watch it, knowing that it came out in 1988, I kind of already prejudged it.
Right.
And that beginning met my prejudgment, and I almost wrote it off, man.
Yeah. I I get that, because when I seen it too, I didn't go into this thinking anything, but at the beginning, it is definitely one of those movies you can just look at and be like, oh, okay, this is what it's going to be. I mean, the guy fucking pulled, he didn't have his hiney out, but he fucking had his drawers and dirty ass swinging in the air at that poor old bastard.
Yeah.
Going down the street to start. And I don't know why, Mink, he had bags full of shit. How do you not pull something out of that bag and throw it at his ass?
I don't know.
He had a wide ass too, Mink. He probably could have got him.
He had a fucking, an apple, I think, or something.
Right.
That he could have fucking, that's like a baseball, man. I mean, goddamn.
He could have bruised him.
Could have done something.
God. I'd have tried to get the apple stuck right in the hole.
Few cans of, vegetables could have fucking hit him in the head with it.
No, Mink, I'm aiming for ass.
Aiming for that butthole, boy.
I'm aiming for that wide ass, Mink. You're going to pull your ass out, you're going to get hit in it. Bottom line, point blank.
He just let them do what they wanted to do. But, I mean, it kind of hit that trope of, the 80s young scene, the fucking little witty kids and stuff. And at that point, I was still like, it's going to be one of those movies. Then it picks up.
It does.
It has that point, and then it kind of places it right where, like the title said, Night of the Demons. I'm like, oh, shit. Like, that's exactly what the fuck this movie is. Man, shit starts turning towards that spectrum of it. And I think they did a really good job on the demons and the makeup and effects that were... I didn't think it was going to be like that.
Yeah. Well, before we go too far from it, I also think this movie did a good job of... I don't know. Let me see if you noticed this. It was shortly after the old dude, when he had the ass pulled out on him, the girl tries to help him. You kids. And he looks down the street a little bit, and did you catch, it looked almost like from Halloween by that tall bush. You know what I mean?
Mm-mm.
Like when he looked down that street, the scene down the street was a street on the left, a sidewalk down the middle of the camera shot, and the tall bush.
Oh, yeah, kind of like Hathaway.
Right. And it looked kind of like a Halloween, kind of nod.
Right, yeah, it did.
I think that was a Halloween nod, because it looked just like it. And it also had, like, with the POV camera, was definitely an Evil Dead thing. Chris, IR Chris pointed that out during the watch party I was doing today. And at the end, by the tombstone, it said Sal Romero. I think it's for George Romero.
Right.
So it's like this movie also, while it was doing its own thing, it was letting, I think it was paying a little bit of tribute where it could to these other movies that set the table for him, which I think, I give them props for that, if that's what their intent was.
So you think there was some homage in it?
Yeah. Yeah. And when I seen that Halloween thing, I started respecting it a lot more right away, because that was at the beginning. So if that was their intent, man, that's cool that they were doing that.
Yeah. Yeah. I really thought this was just going to be like one of the, typical cult 80 horror movies. I was expecting a lot of gore, like overly amounts of blood and shit like that, for that. Dude, I'm telling you, like, they did a really good job. Everything was clean. Everything was done well. I enjoyed like how all the scenes, they would string the audience along for certain jump scares, and it wasn't too over the top, like it wasn't too corny.
Right.
That's what I thought the movie was going to be, dude. And we haven't seen it. Apparently we fucking missed a bus on this, but I see why.
Right.
I wish we would have seen this. I wish I would have known about it, but for some reason, man, it just wasn't up there. And I think that obviously people fucking enjoy the movie, but it's not up there with Friday and Nightmare, but
no,
it has its place, man. And apparently there's fucking a couple of these. There's sequels,
right?
There's a second one. There's another one after that. I completely fucking missed the bus on all of it.
Me too.
I'm mad about it.
Me too. You mentioned the appearance of the demons and stuff. Remember when we did Demons, the movie Demons 1985?
Yeah.
And we were saying, why the fuck do they look like zombies? Dude, this is a trend now.
Yeah. They look just almost the same, right?
Right. And I think these were done better than the ones in Demons. But the point is, I mean, we wouldn't really know, because these are like things, shit from the 80s and all that. But apparently, I don't know when it changed, because we're accustomed to demons in a movie looking a certain way, and it wasn't like this. But apparently this is how it was, you know, back in the 80s and shit.
Dude, I kept referring back to that 85 movie on this a couple times.
Right.
Because I was like, it's kind of like the same setup, you know, they're trapped and shit, and the fucking demons are, you know, attacking and shit. Whatever, that's cool.
Right.
And then you've seen them, and you look, and then I just kind of went along with that. Apparently that's just what they're going to look like, but I think they did a much better job. If that's the route that they were trying to go, and whatever trend that was, I think this movie did a better job on their demons to portray that aspect of it.
Right.
I like that scene where she was fucking them, and then she leaned her head back and came back like that.
Mm-hmm.
That was scary.
Dude, this movie really did creep me out a couple times. It really did. And that was one of the scenes, like, I don't know what it was with that voice, man, and the way they did those little demon scenes with the, like, the, you said, moving their head a certain way, the way they would, just facial features were big on it, too. I actually, like, I got chills a couple times, man.
Yeah. They did a lot more better acting as demons in this one, like the demon persona, like they're possessed, like they're fucking they're demons. That other movie, man, it was just like they were more or less vampires to me.
Yeah.
Now, maybe the vampire is classified as a demon, but I mean, I don't know, man. Whatever. It's fucking Italian horror. I really want to watch the rest of them now, man. But I mean, if you had to sit here and you're watching, you're in 1980, I mean, taking the fact that this is in 1988, so we're late right. in the movie. Do you think they were a little too far behind in the decade for what it was?
No, only because the Demons movie that we're talking about is from 1985, so I think they were right on point with it. So, yeah, maybe they were a little late to the party, but, you know, I don't think it was, I don't think they missed the boat by too much, because all that shit, they hit the teenage thing or, you know, whatever that they were trying to do. And yeah, it came off somewhat cheesy, but you know, like I don't think they were too far off in what they were doing. Like it was, we were almost to the 90s where shit was changing, but I think they hit that like 88. That was your last shot to really do it.
And the reason why I asked that is because the first Chucky movie came out in 88.
Mm-hmm.
And look how far.
Yeah.
And you know, you would think that movie came out in like 1993 or something.
Right.
So like I kind of almost feel like this is along the line, maybe I feel like it could have been shot in 85. And now mind you, I understand that that's not a big time difference, like when you really think about 85 to 88,
right,
0.3 years, right? But back then, that 3 years, the time was moving fast.
Mm-hmm.
It's picking up, and you're sitting there in 1988 and you're talking about 1985. That felt like fucking 10 years ago.
Right.
Back, you know, you're pushing towards 1990 now. I mean, I think that it was a little bit dated for an 88 movie, but they fit it in. They got it in. Like you said, like they met the fucking arrival time.
Right. They got in as the doors were closing.
Right.
Just as they squeezed in, the coke got stuck.
Yep. And snatch it a little bit.
Yeah.
Then everybody started clapping.
Yeah. And you know what? I think you can kind of get away with it because the Chucky comparison is great. I didn't even think of that because, yeah, it's night and day. But, you know, it's, I think as things were changing, like, I'm sure there were people who were a little older who appreciated that, even though it seems like it's aimed at more of a younger demographic. I don't know. But, yeah, you're right. It's definitely, it's crazy how different they were. And they came out in the same damn year. Like, oh, my God.
Yeah.
But they were going for a certain thing, and they got it.
They were.
Yeah.
They were. They were definitely going for that trend of things. It was still there. It's like the metal, something, the hair bands and shit, fucking, they did their thing even though it was over with until fucking grunge came out. And
mm-hmm.
It was just a scene, man, that eventually met its demise, you know, but there were still people rocking that scene hard for a while. There's still people. Dude, I guarantee you we go to fucking somewhere like in L.A. or something. There's still some fucking people who never got past that era. It was such a big fucking thing, man. Like, I don't know what it is. That big hair, that fucking latex fucking leather pants shit. Like, that shit went hard. That's what people, eye rocks and fucking stuff. That was the 80s, man. Like, there was a whole fucking scene.
Yeah.
And I think this is one of those kind of things. Like, this movie was trying to hit that trend with the Motley Crue era.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah, exactly. That's what I mean. We can look back on it now, and it's, you know, so much time has passed, and it's still somewhat relevant. So, you know, it stood the test of time. But then I feel like motherfuckers in the 80s knew that shit wasn't going nowhere. You know, like they rocked it like they knew it, you know, like, so yeah, I guess that's kind of why they get away with it looking back on it in 2020. But yeah, I could that is a really good point to bring up.
But now, see, like the sequels, man, that's why I want to see them, because there was one that was released in 94 and there was another one. I don't know when. I want to see what they're like.
Yeah. Did they let go of the... I mean, because, you know, it would be kind of cool if they just... All of them, they never let go of the 80s.
Yeah.
It would be cool, but I don't know if they did that.
Or did they try to just go for the trend? Like, I want to see what the one in 94 was like. Was it very grungy? Like, was it... What was that like?
Right.
How did they do that one? And I hope it is. I hope they did try to keep up with that. You know, let's just be in the trend of them.
Right. Yeah. Yeah.
Because that would be cool.
Yeah. They weren't afraid of the nudity in this bitch either.
No, they weren't. That's why I'm very thankful. Okay. They were not shy for some ass, titties, dick, everything. They did not care what was out as long as it was fucking in there and they thought it was good and healthy for him.
Yep.
Gotta pass. Whoever directed this shit, he's a cool motherfucker.
It was Kevin Tenney? Tenney?
Tenney.
Yeah. Kevin Tenney.
It's a cool guy.
You like him? Cool.
Yep.
All right.
I like him.
He's your guy?
He's somebody I'd definitely hang out with. If he can get people to pull their titties out like that, I need to learn a thing or two.
Whoa, hold on. Hold the phone. Hold on. Let me look out something real quick. Why is this coming up? I don't know why, but when I look relevant videos, oh, it's some Bigfoot shit. It looked like Harry and the Hendersons.
Oh, fuck.
I was like, whoa, he had something. No, it's just some Bigfoot shit he did.
He didn't have anything else to mention about?
That's what I'm looking up now. He did some movie called Witchboard, Peacemaker, something called TikTok that came out in 2000. Nothing really to mention. He came out with a movie called Bigfoot in 2009. So nothing really to bring up.
Well, I mean, he's got these. I don't know if he directed the rest of them, 2 and 3, but. He's got
it. Yeah. Yeah, no, I don't think he had anything to do with it. Yeah, he did Pinocchio's Revenge. But no, he didn't have anything to do with the other Night of the Demons.
Oh, he didn't? Wow.
Yeah. Well, wait a minute. Let me see if he was a writer. Okay. He was a writer, so he didn't direct them, but... oh, no, he did not write... this one, Night of the Demons. He did not write Night of the Demons 2, but he did write Night of the Demons 3. Go figure.
All right.
Got back in there.
That's one of those underground things, man. I really think that this has a big place on the underground. And we talked about it before. Like, there's tiers to this, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And there's little subgenres, and this is in that category of the cult, like the hard cult.
Right.
Genre of horror. Like, it's everything textbook for it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it really is.
This ain't some shit that you can rip off the shelf for your friend who just, you know, who says his favorite horror movie is Nightmare on Elm Street or something like that. You know, it's very mainstream. Like, you wouldn't want to pull this off the shelf for them.
Right. A casual horror fan.
Well, yeah, that's what I'm trying to say.
Right.
You know, that's definitely for people who, you know, are big into it. They will understand it. I feel like any other demographic will watch this movie and be like, this is complete garbage.
Yeah, unfortunately. Yeah, probably. That's the sad part.
But it's not. It's not. But you have to find that demographic to understand it.
Yeah, and it deserves that, too. But, you know, that unfortunately is, you know, how stuff like this gets looked at. And that's why it doesn't make it to the forefront. They did have, as far as the effects and other people who are working on this movie... what's this chick's name? Lisa Nielsen. She did Indiana Jones, a part of the makeup department. Indiana Jones in 2008, Pirates of the Caribbean in 2006 and 2007. So she went on to do some pretty big things. Law and Order. I mean, there's not much effects there, but
right.
That's a resume thing.
Somebody's got to pour that little splash of blood.
Right. There really isn't any... Oh, wow. Steve Johnson. Talk about a generic name. He went on to do Blade 2, the Abyss Blast. Species.
You know what? I don't know. Have you ever seen the Blade series?
I've seen one, and I have not seen two in its entirety.
You saw the first season? Is that what you're saying?
The first one, yeah.
What did you think about that?
I like Blade.
That was a really dope fucking series.
It was.
I have it. I have the fucking series. I own that shit.
Do you? Damn.
Yep. Got it.
Fucking Blade.
DVDs. Onyx, baby. Sticky fingers.
Sticky fingers.
Yeah, he's cool. But, you know, he went on to do Blade 2. Blade 2 was those Blade movies, man, some high-end fucking production movies. And a lot of people don't know it, but I think it's like Marvel or something. Blade, DC, one of them.
Something like that, yeah, because fucking they didn't pick Wesley Snipes to come back, which really pissed me off.
Right, yeah, and that's him, man. He's like Robert Englund with Freddy Krueger, like. Wesley Snipes is Blade.
Bullshit.
Can't fuck around with that.
Wesley Snipes also took the high road on that bitch, too, and he said, you know, not to give the actor any crap, and he hopes it's, you know, he knows it's going to do great and all that. But, God, come on, man. How do you not?
Yeah. And that was the only thing I had to get over watching that series was seeing Sticky play. And he didn't do bad.
Oh, wait, you're talking about a TV series?
Yeah.
Oh, I thought you were talking about the movies.
No.
Oh,
Blade the series.
Oh, I haven't seen any of Blade. Oh, no, I haven't seen any of that. No.
Oh, man.
Sticky Fingers played him?
Sticky Fingers.
Where the fuck they dig him up from?
Yeah.
Wow.
He played Blade, dude. And he wasn't bad.
Really?
He wasn't bad at all, no. And, but, I mean, it was a little hard. You had to get through the first one or two episodes to get past It's Not Wesley, though.
Right.
I mean, dude, he did an awesome job. That whole series was just fucking cool as shit.
Jeez. Well, I don't know. I miss Wesley Snipes. But yeah, my point of bringing all that up was, I mean, they didn't have any high names on here, any like stuff like that, but they did have people who knew what they were doing and they went on to do other stuff. So they were competent, and I think the effects look great. Like I said, I think the demons in this were way better than the demons in the 85 demon.
Yeah, they did a better job.
Yeah.
Just all around, man. I mean, like, some of the effects that they had in that 85 one was just... And there's no excuse. Like, I understand budgeting and all that, but there's just... If you're good at what you do...
Right.
You can pull a lot of things off, man. And fortunately, they just weren't good at what they were doing on that 85 one. This one, however, seemed like you had a lot of people who were a little bit more talented in that area of it. And it made the movie, man. It really did, because if it wasn't like that, I don't think it would have been as good. Because, I mean, the storyline is very basic, very simple.
Yeah.
Been done. Like we said, it's textbook.
Yeah. You mentioned the budget. It only had a $1.2 million budget.
Oh, shit.
And we were talking about that a little bit during the watch party. I mean, that is a decent amount of money, especially in 1988. That's a lot more money than it is now. But, dude, they had fucking floating limbs, blood effects, makeup effects. The sets on this were really cool. Dude, they got a lot done with $1.2 million.
They did. They did. It's because a little can go a long way when you know what you're doing. You have that talent, man. You have the skill and the ability. So they had these people there that knew what they were doing. And like you said, with the sets, man, like, you know, that coffin scene, I think, she was standing next to the coffin.
Ooh.
Just the way all the drapes and everything were, man, just the lighting and everything, it was really, felt like you could smell the room almost.
I'm so glad you brought up lighting, because I mentioned that during the watch party. The sets were really cool, but they used the lighting so well to where you would see what they want you to see, and then it's dark.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that was so smart, because you don't need to fill every... Like, dude, it's a dark movie. You don't need to see the whole room. And well, like, they let you see a little bit. Okay, we got this. It makes it look so much more full when it's really not. Like, most of the set is, like, a good amount of it is dark. But you're just seeing things. Like, they'll put a table with a bunch of shit on it, and it looks kind of like seance-y, but all you're really seeing is that table. It's popping because everything around it's dark. I thought that was genius. Like, they did that in a lot of spots in this movie, and it worked great.
It was, because, like, going back to the movie we did, Winchester, you look at the scene, and everything is well lit. You see every single book on the shelf. You see every little thing. And while they pull that off in a good way, like, a lot a lot of that, it takes away a lot from the scene and what the character is focusing on. And I think now, especially with all this HD and shit, like, movies are too crisp. Movies are too real life looking, you know,
yeah.
Like, to be a movie. Like, it doesn't, and I think a lot of, see, for what this movie was back then in that category, subgenre, tier,
mm-hmm.
And that same aspect nowadays, how real-looking these movies look,
right.
Make it worse for being in that tier.
Yeah.
Because when you put on a movie in this tier, nowadays, in 2020, and it's crisp, clean, HD, full fucking, like, you can see the veins in their eyes, it makes the movie worse.
It does. It does. Just flat. Dude, this is how these movies are supposed to be. This is it. And it just, like, Winchester is a good example, because, and that is the type of movie it is, so, whatever, but I don't know, I like this a lot better, because it's, you know, you pay it, I personally pay attention to things a lot more, because you can notice it, when everything around is dark, all you're seeing is that, so you're going to focus on it, and you get to see that little, and it's crazy too, because they'll put so much detail into those little things that you can see that they want to highlight, and it's like, it almost balances out, because you look at Winchester, you see everything, and it's like, oh, okay, you know, you don't even pay attention to it, but at least the detail they're putting in here, you're paying attention to, like, it's worth something.
Right.
I thought that was really cool, and smart.
Nowadays, they put too much effort into that. I think they're trying to take a C-list movie and then get the most over-the-top, insanely HD fucking camera they can find to film it in.
Right. It's not needed all the time. I did know, IR Chris, everybody knows about his thing with demonic taint. And since this was an 80s movie, he kept saying demonic bush, and there was one of the scenes where the before the stop looking at me scene when she was getting naked, I think it was that one, and she was getting undressed and everything. I read the chat and I see Chris say incoming demonic bush, 3, 2, 1.
Wow,
he timed it perfect too.
That's talent. That's a talented son of a bitch.
Yeah, dude. IR Chris's commentary for movies rivals Stevie's. I'm not gonna lie.
Imagine we had both of them sit down and watch a movie.
We wouldn't be able to watch the movie because they start fighting.
Right.
Chris will say he's got a small dick. Stevie will get mad. Big thing.
You're not even watching a fucking movie. You're just over here talking about that stupid shit. What are you even talking about?
Saying I got a small.
Well, he's over there. We just watched
the
fucking movie, guys.
That's how the conversation. Because Stevie, like, when he knows he can't get the better or something, that's when he'll just blame you for not doing what you're supposed to do.
We're supposed to come over here and watch this fucking movie, but no.
He'll act like he wasn't going back and forth with you for 20 minutes.
Yeah, go fucking shut up then.
Why are you even here?
That would be a fucking funny-ass movie to watch, though, man, to sit there and have their commentaries. And I like doing that. But sitting down, and there was a show, I forget what it was called, with that guy with the robots, and they sit down and they watch fucking some weird offhand movie, and they just make comments about it. It was a show in itself.
Yeah.
It was hilarious as fuck.
Yeah.
You know?
We always said Stevie had a show in him.
He does.
He does.
He doesn't realize that, though. He thinks it's offensive.
You don't get it.
He takes so much offense. He just doesn't realize how much gold. He's a gem. There's nobody. There are people in this world, man, who are just one of a kind. And he is one of a kind.
How we didn't get him on Tosh.0 is incredible.
I have no idea.
They don't read their emails, clearly.
Fucking Daniel Tosh is a trip.
Yeah, he is.
But if you had to give it this movie a Portnoy, Mink, where you at with it?
I'll give it, and it's in line with no pun intended, with the whole demon thing. I'll give it a 6. No, I'm not going to give it a 6.6. I'll give it a 6.9. 6.9.
Okay.
A solid. I could be convinced to round it up to a 7. I could be. But right now it's a 6.9.
6'9".
Which is not, you know what, no, you know what, Mink, no, I take it back. I'm going to give it a 7-1, dude. I really am going to give it a fucking 7-1.
7-1?
Yeah, it deserves that, I think.
That's a fair score.
Yeah, what do you think? Where are you at with it?
I mean, I think I have to agree that 7-1 is a fair score.
It is. Effort, you know.
I think 7-1 is a very fair score. I'd have to agree.
With what they pulled off at $1.2 million, anything less than a 7 is not fair.
I think 7-1 is perfect for this movie.
The titties they gave you?
Right, right. I was going to say, even with the fucking tits and shit, come on now.
They gave you Heine right off the bat.
They did.
Heine.
And, you know, being the fact that we understand movies like this, that's really a good score for it, considering that, you know, there's fucking Nightmare on Elm Street movies that we would categorize as a 7-1.
Yeah, yeah.
So I think that's a very, very fair score.
Right.
7-1. I agree with that.
And the fact that, like, dude, that stop looking at me scene when she was riding that dude's quack.
Yeah, stop looking at me.
I got chills, man. That free. I was like, wow. They got that demon voice on point in this movie.
They did, man.
They did.
They did a lot of things right. I really think that the only thing that I can take away from it was, you know, some certain kind of like generic fucking music, sounds and shit that they used was fucked up. But, I mean, hey, that's just picking up shit.
Yeah.
On a movie that came out in 1988.
Yeah, yeah. You could do that with anything.
You know?
Melly Bean was in the watch party, too, and she brought up the scores for this, like all the music and the music effects and everything. That was really good, too. Like, dude, it was a good horror movie. Through and through. Mm-hmm.
And they hit that fucking Motley Crue era right dead on his head.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Yep.
But, you know, we're doing an Underworld versus fucking Resident Evil bitch shit. I got one that comes from the fucking Motley Crue era. Who would have won that fight between Axl Rose and Vince Neil? Because Vince Neil, there was some shit. Did you know about that, right? The fucking fight that was supposed to be taking place that never did?
No.
Axl Rose, the lead singer from Guns N' Roses,
right,
got into it with fucking Vince Neil, the lead singer from Motley Crue. And I think it was Vince Neil that called him out and said, anytime, anywhere, any place, see me and we're going to throw hands. And damn. Axl never did it.
Oh, what a bitch.
And now, mind you, they're two of the biggest bands of the 80s, right? Like, you can go on tour together. Like, you're eventually going to be at a fucking festival or something, I'm sure.
Right.
So he had the opportunity. And Vince Neil did on a big-ass interview. He called him out. He said, anytime, anywhere. Who would have won, though? That's the question I leave the audience with. Who do you have?
I would go with Vince Neil.
I'd say Vince Neil, too.
Because
they were a happy fucking bunch, Motley Crue.
Yeah, yeah, they, especially after that documentary thing, they'll fuck some shit up.
But Axl Rose was known to jump in the audience too and beat the shit out of people. He just jumped down, he beat the shit out of this guy for taking a picture of him.
Yeah, but you know what? I don't know, I think celebrities do that, and again, this is generalizing, but for the most part, I think they do that because... Dude, imagine if you see a celebrity walking down, like, you're starstruck, you're like, oh my god, trying to get a picture of whatever. The last thing you expect is for them to turn around and fucking swear. Like, you're taken so off guard.
Right.
You know, and I don't get me wrong, I'm all for it. I want to see a celebrity get their ass whooped. Don't get me wrong, but it's the element of surprise they got. Like, that's the last thing you expect.
Yeah. And plus, you know, security is going to support fucking
that
the
too.
Celebrity.
Especially at event, that's another. That's why I don't give Axl Rose. I give him credit because he's jumping in a crowd and that's balls. But he knows there's security there.
It's gonna pull him back.
Right.
Now, meanwhile, Vince Neil and them, where they were doing that shit in the bars.
Right.
Where there's nobody right. gonna help them out.
They're fucking holding their own.
Yeah.
Motley Crue got busy, and now that I know that Axl Rose didn't want the smoke, I mean, come on.
Yeah, now he says that he did, but again, he never fucking said anything back. It was out there.
I could say I got a 3-foot penis. It don't make it true.
Right.
Although it's a few inches off.
Axl Rose turned around and pretty much did the same shit to Kurt Cobain.
Oh, damn.
Come on.
So he didn't want the smoke with Vince Neil, but he was going to bother poor Kurt Cobain.
Yeah, he wanted to fuck up Kurt Cobain.
I think that was just him mad because he looked like a bitch with Vince Neil, so he wanted to try. And that's what it sounds like.
Especially with Kurt Cobain. I mean, Right. Come on.
And Kurt Cobain's probably sitting there like, dude, leave me alone. What did I do?
Kurt's not like that at all, I'm sure. It, you know, Courtney Love could probably beat Kurt Cobain's ass. Let's be serious.
Courtney Love probably could have whooped Axl Rose's ass.
Yeah, probably for Axl Wright. Nothing.
Yeah.
True.
Yeah.
But I mean, that's just the kind of guy like Axl was. So, but that's out there. But there are people who will back Axl. So I just ask them, you know.
Yeah.
Who would you have? Chris, who would you have? Yeah. I personally, I side with Vince Neil too. I think Vince Neil would have fucked his ass up.
Yeah, it seems like it.
I think he would have fucked him up.
Well, unfortunately, we'll never know.
No, because Axl don't want it.
Yeah. Well, no, he don't. It'd be funny if they just threw down today.
Yeah, right?
Fuck it. But yeah, I mean, that's fucking, I'm glad. Thank you, Jamie, for bringing this movie to our attention.
Yes, definitely. Miss Gobble, you did a good one.
I don't know. She still got a lot of work to do because I'm still really confused and pissed off about Eraserhead. This didn't right the ship yet, but she patched a few holes.
Don't make it worse by rooting for Axl Rose either.
Yeah, don't take steps backwards. Let's not fuck anything up here.
She's safety pipped.
Yeah, she's safety pipped. Yeah. She almost pipped. She got real close, but she definitely safetied. Yeah,
she safety pipped on this one. That was ballsy too for this pick. Throw that out. That's a ballsy one.
Yep. But yeah, so go check out all our episodes, all our articles, exclusive shit, interviews. @SlasherRadio.com. Be sure to follow us on Twitter so you can keep up with everything you'll know about these watch parties that go down spur of the moment that I fall asleep in the middle of. That'll be so you can record me snoring. That'd be great.
There you go.
And do that on Twitter @SlasherRadio. I'm @MikeySDead on Twitter. Mink, where are you at?
@BobbySpitzer with 2 R's. And don't make me be at your house eating a shit sandwich on your lap.
Butt naked, apparently.
Butt ass naked.
Why does every episode end with some form of nudity?
It's good for
them. It is good for them. Come back and check us out next week, guys. Good night from Slasher Radio.
All the best of Slasher Radio podcast.
Mink, I did one of those watch along things on Twitch.
What's that? Where you watch the guys play?
No, that like watch the movies and shit with people. They have like watch parties.
Oh,
dude, I fell asleep in the middle of the fucking movie. Chris was in there. There was like 100 people watching that thing.
What, Nine of the Demons?
Yeah, and I fell asleep snoring and all.
They didn't say nothing.
Yeah, they did. I feel so bad. I was like, oh my God.
They said, this motherfucker.
Oh, man. They said they tried to DM you. They were like worried because I wasn't saying anything, and then they heard me snoring. I was like, oh my God.
Well, fuck
yeah, what are you going to do?
What do they want from you?
Right, man. I'm going on like 3.5 hours sleep, man. Leave me alone.
I'm all the way the fuck down here. What am I going to do? Go nudge you? How you get up?
Right.
Hey, man.
I think they think that like our assholes are linked via Bluetooth or something.
Yeah, right. Not over thousand miles away.
Shit.
What am I going to do? That's some fun shit, though, man.
Oh, I can't believe that.
making mac and cheese, mind this business.
They're selling crack. Oh, big speaking of selling crack, somebody asked me if I wanted to buy cocaine today.
Did they?
Yeah. I was driving. I drove home and I made a sandwich. And I was driving and I'm rushing because I'm running late. And I hear this car behind me, like they honked a few times. I'm like, the fuck? You know, like I'm driving. I'm not going slow. I'm going faster than I probably should be. Like I'm rushing.
Right. Was it a hoopty?
It wasn't a hoopty, but you know, I think it was like a Honda Accord or something. Like, yeah, it wasn't a hoopty.
Okay, I see.
But
okay.
You know, in between
the normal the car.
Yeah, regular car. And they came around me, and I'm on a side street, and they're coming around me, and I think they're trying to get in front of me. Mm-hmm. So I pull off from the, like, fuck you, you're not going to get in. Like, you can wait. Mm-hmm. So I pull off from the stop sign, and then he's honking at me again, but I noticed as I pulled off, he slowed down. So I'm like, oh, he's trying to talk to me. So I stopped at the next sign. He's like, hey, man, I'm trying to ask you something. I'm like, oh, I didn't know, dude. What's up? And he's like, You just smoke cigarettes? Or you smoke weed too? I'm like, yeah. He's like, oh, you trying to get some? I'm like, I got a bunch at home. I don't need none right now.
Right.
He's like, oh, you do coke? I'm like, no. I said, wow.
Wow. So he's just running around asking.
Rolled right up on me, mate.
Asking.
I was like, what a dumb motherfucker. Dude, I'm a white dude.
Right?
You could have got yourself busted.
Yeah.
Like, fuck. Come on.
He could have been an undercover.
No, Mick, he was not. He was not. He was like a very early 20s kid. Like, I highly doubt.
Like Lil Yachty?
Yeah. I highly doubt.
Oh, man. He's going to get his ass caught.
Dude, I was in, like, I'm dressed nice for where I got a button up on. Like, that is not the person you want to roll up on as they want to buy cocaine.
I don't give a fuck, man. The best, and I give Demo his due, but Pablo was so smooth.
Man, he was like the Batman of selling weed and coke.
He was so smooth. He was slick. Slick fuck. But his ass got caught.
Yeah.
Slick motherfucker. How can you just ask that? Like, that's the thing. Don't ask. Like, Pablo never asked. He just dropped it off, and then, like, you get the hint.
Yeah.
He doesn't ask. Like, you don't go around just fucking, hey, what's fucking crack cocaine and shit and fucking meth? No, you don't. You're going to get your ass caught.
Yeah, it was the dumbest thing I've ever seen.
Because just by saying that, you can get arrested. Just by saying it.
Right. He straight up said, you do coke? I was like, no. No, I don't. Nope. Oh, no, you don't. He asked me again. He's like, no, you don't. No, I'm like, no.
I just said no, motherfucker.
There's no in between with doing coke. It's like, it's a firm no.
He was wanting to make sure. He said,
what? Yeah. You sure? You might have did coke. You forgot? No. Don't do cocaine.
You positive.
Yeah, my God.
Did he try to give you a phone number and shit?
No. Then he was like, all right, man. He said, nice car, and fucking drove off. I sat there for a second. I'm like, wow. What the fuck?
He said, do you want my support? That escalated quickly.
Yeah. I was like, all right, whatever. We rolled up on people at the gas station, rolled a blunt before, is whatever. And then we said, you do coke? I said, this guy is stupid. Me.
So that means he's running around with weed and cocaine.
Right. Asking people.
Asking
white dudes dressed fucking, you know, I had on a button up.
That's crazy.
Like, it's not the brightest of movies. I'm not the person you want to approach like that. You know?
That's scary, man.
It's stupid.